Hey, folks, the phone lines are burning up, so get your calls in while you can for February's Listener Request Month.
And remember, that 10-year ban is gone.
Totally donezo, man. It's, for this month, whatever you want from whatever year you want.
It's the end of the year, man. It, you know, it's been a long movie year. There have been some really garbage movies. If you want to throw some at us, I am ready for it.
Yeah, no, I mean, January, we are going to be doing our personal worst of 2013.
Right.
But, you know, there might be something that we don't have on the docket that you do. So feel free to request something for 2013, maybe something from last year. I mean, whatever.
Hey,
All bets are off.
Maybe something from 1971.
Yeah.
Why not?
There was bad movies that came out that year, too.
Sure.
That's fine. Also, there are a couple movies we're not going to do after we just got done telling you we'll do essentially any movie. Movies that have been done a bunch of times and movies we've done episodes on. For both cases of that, of course, check out whmpodcast.com. In our FAQ, there's some answers there for what we're not going to do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and when you call, remember name and where you're calling from. And
yeah.
A brief description of why this should be an episode.
Exactly. Yes. And, you know, I appreciate we've had a ton of calls coming in already. Like, I'm going to say we've had over, like, 250 phone calls. Like, it's been pretty insane.
It's good thing there's only four slots.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like getting on SNL.
This is Mega Millions.
Yeah, it is. Well, I'll say this. We're not done. We have not made any final decisions, so do not hesitate to call in. But Eric's right about one thing. Keep that call pretty short. Keep it under a minute. We don't need to know everything about the movie. Maybe just tell us one little crazy thing that you think makes it worthy.
Also, maybe you want to, you know, finish that mouthful of pasta. Finish your milkshake. You know, a nice, clear... talking here is what we'd like. A good phone call, because we are going to put it on the air.
That's
yes,
very true.
Please remember to talk.
Please remember to talk. Please remember the name of the movie you're doing. And also, by the way, please just keep it to a movie. I don't want to hear a bunch of, you know what you should do? Sinbad movies. We're doing a Sinbad movie today. But, you know, I was using him as an example.
Right. And don't call up being like, you know what you should do? CDs. Well, wrong show, buddy.
Yeah, you
want to take that over to Chris Cabin's We Hate Music.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, the number for the WHM hotline is 718-925-3893. International listeners, connect with us on Skype. We will accept your connection invitation, and you will be able to leave us a message. And then what else are we saying?
Well, the last time you can do this is December 31st, the strike of midnight. Once 2014 begins, you are too late.
Exactly right.
Yep.
That's midnight Eastern time. We're a New York City-based show, so, you know.
That's right. None of this Pacific bullshit. You do the math on your own. -3.
Listen, you know, West Coast, if you're calling at 9:30 p.m. your time, you're finished.
And look, I'm just going to say it because, I mean, it has to be said. Maybe you want to do it the morning of the 31st because you might be indisposed towards the end of the night. Maybe
yeah.
you want to get there. Maybe I know people are procrastinators. I know we all are, but like
this is different opinions on We Hate Movies again because I say get ripped, man. Let us be your midnight kiss.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. If you leave a voicemail from your New Year's Eve party and you get your crowd of people to yell into the phone what the movie title is, it would be pretty cool, and it might make it to air. I'm saying we're easily swayed by gimmicky shit, is what I'm saying. That number again, 718-925-3893, strike of midnight Eastern on December 31st, when 2013 dies. So do your chances to get a call in. 718-925-3893. You tell us what to watch. Hey, gang, real quick before we get started, we got another thing that I wanted to put out on the air. We mentioned it on social media, but I do know that we've got way more listeners than we do social media participants. So I wanted to let everybody know about the contest we're doing for support of Animation Damnation. The first pilot episode of Animation Damnation came out a couple weeks ago. It was the He-Man She-Ra Christmas special. A lot of funny moments in that. So we're reaching out to all you digital animators out there. If you do digital animation, Flash or some sort of animation that you film, whatever it is you're doing and making it digital, listen up. We're looking for 1 to 2 minute videos highlighting your favorite part of the He-Man She-Ra Christmas special episode. So, you know, audio from the episode hooked up with video that you are animating. 1 to 2 minute segment, not longer than 2 minutes, not shorter than a minute. Email it to weallhatemovies@gmail.com before the last day of January. It's 31st of January, 2014. Get your submissions in. The winner gets their artwork, their art studio, their art business, their website, their blog, whatever it is, plugged on the air on We Hate Movies for an entire month. And you also get the honor of submitting a list of 3 movies to us. We will pick one to do, and you will get to sponsor a We Hate Movies episode outside of a listener request month.
Wow, so you do the work, and there's rewards.
That's what happens, dude. You can reap the benefits. Get your artwork plugged to listeners all over the world. It sounds pretty great, right? Plus, we just like watching more cartoons, so we're going to talk about cartoons, and then you make cartoons out of us talking about cartoons. I think it's pretty sweet.
Ah, snakes eating its own tail.
That's exactly what it is. The Animation Damnation Animation Contest. Should have thought of a better name for that, but that's what it is. The Animation Damnation Animation Contest. January 31st, last day for submissions. Email us. Very important. Email only the link to us. weallhatemovies@gmail.com. You can get your work plugged on the air. Hello, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Chris Gabin.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies. Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's installment of We Hate Movies. It's our Christmas episode, 1996's Jingle All the Way, directed by Brian Levant. Homeboy's got a whole lot of credits under his belt here. I'm just going to reel off a couple real quick. The Flintstones, Beethoven, Spy Next Door. This dude's got a lot of things. Snow Dogs with Cuba Gooding Jr.
Oh, come on, man.
Are we there yet?
Yeah, are we there? That was the one I remember.
He sure did. Oh, he also directed Viva Rock Vegas. It's nice to see that franchise kept its series director.
Yeah, you need the visionary, the artistic tone.
He's the Nolan of Hanna-Barbera adaptations.
He also directed Problem Child 2, a movie so bad it's not worth talking about on this show. That's how I feel about Problem Child.
So don't call it in.
Different opinions on We Hate. Yeah, I think that movie is insane.
You love it, huh?
I was struck by how insane that movie is.
Maybe I got to give it another shot, but I was aggravated watching that.
Well, I can imagine.
Chris, did you like it because it reminded you of your own childhood, perhaps?
It was. I mean, I did.
I heard you were a big PC.
Well, once I did project my babysitter's sexcapades on a house in my neighborhood.
Really?
So, yeah.
Problem I have with that movie is they have an impossible movie house.
Oh, yeah.
That movie, it's like John Ritter got a copy of Cool Single Dad catalog and just ordered everything
but
in it.
It's also kind of like Pee-wee was your interior decorator.
Yeah.
That's kind of a situation.
Well, they do have a zombie. So anyway, what I was trying to say with that is that, you know, Brian Levant, motherfucker's got a lot of money. Those are successful movies that
just
this guy's
fine,
directed.
Just fine.
And, you know, Jingle All the Way was another one of these. So here we are. Is this... Now, wait a second. As much as I wish I had all the data on our back catalog in my head, accessible at all times, is this our first Arnold movie?
No, we did Running Man this year.
Oh, Running Man, of course. Yes. Oh, yeah. Okay, so... Yeah, sorry, Arnold. Not welcome to the show, Arnold. And not welcome to the show, Sinbad, by the way.
Oh, gosh.
Here's my first big criticism of this movie. And I never thought I would say this, but not enough Sinbad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could have been doing... I mean, there's not enough jokes. That's the bigger issue.
And honestly, there's not enough Arnold Schwarzenegger.
There's way too much Turbo Man.
You can never get enough Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
And he is just... all over this thing.
Yeah, no, it's true.
But he's like playing, like, this is like my least favorite Arnold. Like, this is, if we're talking about variations on Arnold, this is my least favorite one. This is one where he isn't really allowed to do anything but play like a flustered father.
Yeah, well, this, my wife pointed this out when we were watching it last night, right? She was like, he doesn't work in these family type things. Because even in Kindergarten Cop, he's a cop and there's bad guys and things to do.
He's
but
got
this
scruff, he's yeah, grizzled in
this
that
movie. Is like he's totally castrated. You know, you just know he wants to be like, shut up, motherfucker, to Sinbad, right?
Yeah.
But he can't do it because we got to keep this movie PG.
Well, that's the thing is like, I feel like this is one of those things where the movie's written and then, you know, it wasn't written for Arnold Schwarzenegger. It wasn't rewritten for Arnold Schwarzenegger. And then someone just mentioned his name and I'm like, well, that's interesting.
Well, there was a big dust up about the script. I remember reading
about the Jingle All the Way script.
There was. I remember there was a lawsuit. Some guy sued them.
Yes.
Because he had written a script and they had. Well, no, it was like a treatment or something.
Oh, come on, don't bullshit me. You didn't write that script.
This dude won a thing in 2001. The court case.
He was
a high school biology teacher who wrote a treatment for this movie. I got it right here. It was originally called Could This Be Christmas? And he was awarded $19 million, which was somehow reduced to $1.5 million.
Because they reversed the decision or something. Like, eventually...
Fox appealed the decision.
Yeah, there was a big thing. And it's just one of the weirdest things. Because who fucking... Who remembers this goddamn movie? Other than Eric.
It's not... okay, I'll tell a quick little story about Jingle All the Way. It's a recent... This year, as a matter of fact, Jingle All the Way story. So where I work, if anyone's listened to my other podcast I do for the Jacob Burns Film Center, one of the things I do there as a film programmer is I do the kids' film series. So we're putting together our December calendar, and I was like, okay... I'm going to do a bunch of, you know, obviously the Christmas movies, you know. So I got Home Alone in there. Nice new DCP restoration from Fox. That was pretty rad, right? New Paramount DCP restoration of It's a Wonderful Life. So I had some good things in there, right? And I had this like stray weekend. And I was like, what can I fucking put in there? So I was like, Jingle All the Way, right?
No, demon!
No. So it gets better. So I submit the series, you know, in a meeting. And my boss is like... Listen, we want to get this 3D ballet production of the Nutcracker, and it's perfect for the holidays. Why don't you not do Jingle All the Way? It got cut. I mean, deservedly so. It's terrible. We're here today talking about it. You know, I just loved though. It's the only time I've ever proposed a screening of something that got rejected. The only time. It's like, you know what? The Arnold Schwarzenegger Sinbad Christmas movie isn't so much a classic.
I mean, why it's my least favorite Arnold is because he in this movie. He's kind of his biggest problem is that he's not the most attentive father ever. He's wealthy.
Well,
they have a beautiful house. He has a very attentive mother.
You mean wife?
Well, the kid.
Oh wait. Oh, who's?
So this is from Jake Lloyd's point of view.
Yes.
You're saying all this. He's got a cushy upper middle class life.
You think the kid's supposed to be like, well, you know, I got this house. It's worth. Pretty good chunk of change.
I guess I'm asking for a pretty mature child. But, like, the guy owns a business, a very successful business.
It's like, what, it's a mattress company?
You're my number one customer.
Yeah, that's what he does say to everybody. Like the manager of a Chinese restaurant, apparently, with that impression.
I was trying to do Arnold. They're not all going to land.
No, it's true.
But... Yeah, I think it's vague what he even does. It's just like
sleepies, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I saw on one of the order forms it was like six black mattresses.
So he sells mattresses.
I think he's a mattress salesman.
But and it's clearly a very nice living he's made for himself. And
yeah,
this,
they're doing fine.
And this
it's
kid,
cushy
this
the
fucking
mattress
kid,
it's cushiony. Yeah.
Let me tell you how good this kid has it.
Does he have it?
This kid has a painting. It must have been by a Marvel artist of Captain America on his wall.
They got Jack Kirby himself to come in, do a little doodle.
It's beautiful. It looks beautiful.
I mean, it's like, there is that weird thing where you go into this kid's bedroom. It's Jake Lloyd from Phantom Menace, by the way.
Anakin Skywalker.
Yes, the very same. You go into his bedroom and all of a sudden it's like a Marvel store.
Yeah.
Like this kid has all this shit. But then he wants this fake Turbo Man thing that you see the Turbo Man show and it's like a Power Rangers type thing. And I'm like, if you're just licensing all this Marvel shit, why don't you just license, like, he wants a Captain America doll? I mean, it was like 96, 95, you're making this thing, so Marvel hadn't, like, jumped into the Marvel thing. Actually, we don't have resident comic book expert Steve Sadak here to confirm this, but I think in, like, the 90s, wasn't, like, Marvel kind of in trouble? Wasn't that when they filed for bankruptcy? I don't really know what the deal is there.
I don't remember.
So maybe it was, but you want to decorate the kids' room with the Incredible Hulk sheets? That's fine.
Yeah, I mean,
we'll sell it to you.
You didn't necessarily want to float the Spider-Man movie quite yet.
Yeah, that's
true. But it's coming up.
Yeah, it's on its way.
It's about to be pitched somewhere.
But so Arnold's biggest crime is that he's a busy businessman to provide all this stuff for his family, and he's an unattentive father. But that's okay. That's a thing to vilify. You know, like he. I think the thing is, it's not like he messed up once. They make it very clear in the film that he keeps fucking up. He keeps missing Jake Lloyd's karate pageants.
Well, this is the great thing. It's like, it's a karate belt ceremony where, like, you're going to graduate and get the purple belt or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. He's moving
but
up.
For
belts.
Some reason, every single character in this movie refers to that thing as a karate class. Oh, come on. I'm coming to the karate class. Like, it's all, like, it's more, it's not just a class. If you can go to a karate class any day of the week.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, when, like, people in my family don't know what I do for a living, so they just say I make movies. Like, now he's making movies. Like, that's what this is. They don't know that it's, like, this belt moving up ceremony. So, oh, it's his karate class. You're going to be late for his karate class.
But I will argue with you on the his consistent, because there is a line in this movie where he's like, I was there for one of them, and then Jake Lloyd says, yeah, but you weren't there for the other one. Dude. Look around. Like, it's a lot like the Jack Frost situation,
mm-hmm.
where I feel like the father is, like, doing kind of the best he can, and his one flaw, the one problem,
is dying in a van accident and becoming a snowman.
Yes. No, his one problem is that he's not perfect. He's not the perfect father.
Well, I would argue another problem Michael Keaton has in that movie is that he doesn't have a job.
Well, as that as well.
He plays in the Jack Frost blues band at 40, still chasing that dream of maybe being signed to a record
label. Well, maybe he'll get there.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, they do. Maybe. They would have if he didn't selfishly die in that car accident. So this movie, right, everybody remembers the premise of this flick. Actually, well, yeah, you brought up a good point. One of you guys did. The fact that how well remembered is this movie?
I mean, maybe for, like, Schwarzenegger aficionados, they know this
Schwarzenegger
one.
Schwarzenegger aficionados,
Why
by
is
the
that
way.
Funny?
It's funny because we all are that, but no one calls it that. And that's why it's funny. You're right.
But I'm badge of honor with that one.
It's a real thing. It's just hilarious to hear someone say.
I think there is more. This is more known than we might think, because I think it's got such a camp value to people these days.
Yeah, and, I can see that.
Well, to people our age and older, sure. But my question, for our younger listeners out there, do you guys and gals know this movie as, like, oh, we want to watch a silly bad movie that's centered around the holidays. Oh, Jingle All the Way, of course.
Well, I mean, it's this and Surviving Christmas on TBS.
Hey, how about Christmas with the Cranks, by the way?
And Christmas with the Cranks, perhaps.
I've never seen it.
Oh, it's wretched.
But what is this other?
Surviving Christmas is the one with Ben Affleck and James Gandolfini.
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. It's like, this movie's, I'm guessing, better than both of those.
Yeah.
So then automatically this is more remembered.
Well, like, let's not
beloved.
Get nuts, though.
Beloved.
It's not Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
No.
Also, wait, what's the other one with Danny DeVito?
Deck the Halls is what Bradley. You're thinking of.
Deck. Oh, yeah, where they have, there's like
the
competition about whose
I'm
house
gonna
is
going to destroy
it.
Your house.
No, I have the most Christmas lights, and I like to watch them. In the dark.
They were just, for a long time, they were just failing to find somebody who could play off of Danny DeVito. Because they tried it with fucking Martin Lawrence in that What Could Go Wrong movie.
Oh, they tried it with Tim Robbins in that other movie. What's that one there?
Well, that's Tim Robbins and Martin Lawrence and Nothing to Lose. Right? Or
is
there
Tim
Robbins and Danny DeVito movie that I don't know
No, I was talking about... Oh, Danny DeVito's also in Nothing to Lose?
No.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying there's... Another person that oh wait, you're talking about people working off of Danny DeVito. Yes. I'm talking about the fact that it's impossible also to find someone who works well with Martin Lawrence.
Yes.
Steve Zahn? With Arnold Schwarzenegger. Twins.
Twins. I mean, that was the closest.
They do work very well together. And by the way, like the other week when we said we don't need a Ghostbusters 3, I don't need this Triplets.
Oh, no. There's no way.
I don't need it.
It shouldn't happen.
What's Triplets?
It's a twin sequel where it's not like in production casting yet. But it's
my
rumored,
blood's starting to boil already.
It's rumored that they find out, the two of them, the twins find out they have a third brother.
Can you put a record scratch coming up here?
Yep. Played by Eddie Murphy.
Nice to meet you. Sorry for my cold reception.
Somehow I don't believe that we're twins. So the premise of this movie is this kid wants this Turbo Man doll. It's the Tickle Me Elmo of this movie world. And Arnold, being the businessman, you know, forgetful father that he is, doesn't get the present, you know, when Rita Wilson asks him to. And so he's on the hunt to get this fucking doll at every toy store in Milwaukee. Or, not Milwaukee, Minneapolis,
yeah,
Minnesota.
The Twin
Sorry.
Cities.
Yes.
But I just want to quickly say, like, how he's set up as a terrible father in many ways in this film. And one of them I find that's pretty reprehensible is the fact that he misses the karate class. And then to make it up to Jamie, he's like, Jamie, what can I buy you? Yeah. What can I buy you for Christmas? You know, like how can I buy your love? And then, of course, he just reiterates the present that he himself was told by his wife and child months ago.
Yeah, get this fucking doll. And you know what? Here's the thing out there, dads. If your kid's like, I want this thing, and you know it to be the hot Christmas item, just order it off of Amazon and keep it in your fucking work desk for 3 months.
Well, this is before Amazon.
We were talking about this last night too. The idea that like the plot of this movie, the conceit of this movie, is not a problem in 2013.
Yeah, in cell phones too would have tremendously. But
there's a lot of Arnold Schwarzenegger going to payphones in this movie.
But also the kid, I imagine, is watching like Are You Afraid of the Dark or some shit where the Turbo Man commercial is on. And Arnold Schwarzenegger is in that living room reading his paper, sipping his scotch, and it's on in the background, and he's got to remember it. It's got to be plastered everywhere. There's got to be news stories about how it's coming out.
And he definitely does the whole, like, he's hearing about this for the first time. What is Turbo Man?
It's the world of this movie, Turbo Man is fucking everywhere.
And dude, everybody loves Turbo Man. Everybody. And I'll tell you another thing. Folks at home like to make up like drinking games to different movies we do and whatnot. Do not do the drinking game where you have to take a drink every time someone says Turbo Man in this movie. I'll get a fucking class action lawsuit settled against me because people will die. Yeah. They say Turbo Man so much in this movie. And everybody. It's not just out of the mouths of babes and Arnold. Phil Hartman's talking about Turbo Man. Rita Wilson's talking about Turbo Man. Turbo Man's on the news. The fucking president of the United States. Ha ha, that Turbo Man is pretty great. He's a cool guy, that Turbo Man.
Mass alcohol poisonings across the nation.
So much death.
Pump
the weed.
Stomach
movies,
pumping
all the way game.
In every house.
Here's how you can play a Jingle All the Way drinking game and not die: is take a drink every time Sinbad tells a funny joke. You'll be a teetotaler.
You'll
man.
Be eating toast the whole time.
Not a drop of liquor in you. Let me tell you, when Sinbad first appears in this movie, it's like he kind of comes out of nowhere like a demonic Christmas angel.
Yeah.
Right? Because Arnold is just thinking about like how miserable this is, like waiting outside in the cold for this toy store to open. They do the gag of like, you know, he's like, when are you going to open? And the guy points to the sign and it says 9 a.m. And it's like 8:57. He's like, come on! You can't even open 3 minutes early! This is bullshit!
Well, it's like that movie, it's like that shitty David Paymer movie, Carpool, where all you're trying to do is get to the office to do your thing, and everything in the movie has to be put in the place of you getting to the movie. And that works for maybe 10 minutes. And then you're just like, it's get not the fucking thing.
Just do it. Yeah. And so like they're waiting outside and here comes Cindy. You hear him blabbering.
Oh, he before, won't shut the hell
before
up.
Before you see him, you hear it.
He's yelling about all these mailman problems. And I understand it must be really bad to work in delivery in the post office at that time of year.
Yeah.
But just yelling all your mailman problems
out. Hollering. It's just too much.
And it's the worst kind of thing that stand-ups turned actors do in movies, which is the lines that you're delivering just sound like your stand-up material. Yeah. And you listen to Sinbad in this, and all he's doing is Sinbad's thoughts on the busy Christmas season.
Right, exactly.
That's all it is.
And it crescendos, I should say, into him grabbing a woman in this crowd trying to and mock strangling her, or like basically strangling her, and the crowd is just like, oh, yeah, works in with his story. That's fine. Stop him.
Oh, no.
He's a madman.
No, Eric. He's just acting out his story to further exemplify what the point he's trying to get across. Because
our younger listeners might not know this, but in the mid-90s, it was still good just to – it's still totally fine to randomly assault people.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
it's totally fine.
Nowadays, we've gotten so sensitive with everything.
Yeah, everything. I mean – we take this into like a world that it's, if the internet existed, this wouldn't happen.
Yes.
But it's funny that they do get that, like, that fervor of like Black Friday sales.
We still clearly have that in this country. One of the biggest fucking embarrassments in the United States of America is Black Friday mania. I fucking curbed a bitch in the Walmart parking lot for a fucking Dora the Explorer pillow.
It's amazing because
I hate it.
Because it becomes the fucking news for the next week.
It becomes the holiday.
How many people died at Walmart? Yeah. That's a fucking news story.
How many news stories are there about Thanksgiving? How many are there about Black Friday.
It's not even about debts. It's like, hey, did you stub your foot while you were trying to, reach for that Batman figurine? Yeah, I did. That really sucked.
Oh, wow. That's great. Syria's fucking at war with itself. We don't want to hear about serious problems. There are enough problems at that Long Island Best Buy.
All I want to hear about is the sales at Target, Walmart, and what is happening in Benghazi. Because, Syria, okay, Obama take me into a war. I don't think so. Obama started the war in Benghazi.
It's the three things you heard about on Black Friday. Best Buy, Walmart, and getting to the bottom of Benghazi. Because you know what? At the end of the day, someone still ain't saying something.
We're going to get to the bottom of Benghazi like I get to the bottom of a bag of Doritos Extreme Spicy Nacho.
And frankly, I don't think that Saddam Benghazi should be in power.
So this is also... a little bit of a time crunch movie. It takes place all on Christmas Eve.
Yep.
Right. Way to go waiting for the last possible second.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I'll say one thing for Arnold Schwarzenegger in this movie. He doesn't believe in Black Friday. That's for sure.
No, he doesn't. He is going to shop when there's fucking snow on the ground and lights in the trees.
Yeah.
Not a second before.
And I mean, it's kind of the only genuine laugh I got out of the whole movie was when he goes to the first. He thinks this is going to be a fucking walk in the park. He walks into this first toy store,
which is so fucking stupid, Arnold.
The place is mobbed, and he goes up to these two fucking guys, he asks.
One
about,
is Chris Parnell, by the way.
Yes, Chris Parnell, and he asks them about it, and they laugh in his fucking face,
dude. It's great. They just break out laughing, and it's amazing because they're like. It's a joke that plays in this movie because it's like, hey, this guy's thinking he's going to get a Turbo Man doll. And the whole store is pointing and laughing at him. It's so great.
This guy doesn't know how to use the three seashells.
Man, just the public shaming of, hey, everybody, this guy, insert embarrassing thing, and then 50 people laugh at you. Great gag. It will never get old for me. Someone getting laughed at in public.
Well, yeah, because it's the hottest thing in the world. Like, this is...
They're laughing. Like, how clueless are you?
It's like the number one export of the United States.
So the whole thing is Christmas Eve. I guess there's sort of some sort of wintertainment parade. I guess,
it's a holiday parade, which I don't agree with either, because it should be a Christmas parade. First off,
get that menorah out of my Christmas parade. They do make a point in this like parade montage to show some dude dancing in a menorah costume for like 2 seconds. It's like, yeah, the Jews are there too. Anyway, back to Santa.
Were they? That seems like a swipe at them.
It's just a guy holding a board that says Kwanzaa on it.
Just a dude with a sign that says Kwanzaa. And it's spelled wrong. That's it. And so the whole thing is, you know, they're like, listen, he lies to his wife and he's like, you know, like, oh, of course I have the Teoboman doll. I just have to go to the office and get it. And he's like, I'll meet you at the Wintertainment Parade, which is what they go to. Although Jake Lloyd reminds Arnold, yeah, we do this every year. Well, you haven't been in like 3 years, but Mom and I like going. Just really rubbing it in his face.
It's a family tradition, and he has no idea what it is.
Yeah. So the whole thing is he has to get this doll, you know, before he has to be at the parade is the thing. And then we just
start
go. It's a series. Yeah, start the clock. Right. Exactly. Ding. And it's so that from there, it's like he sort of runs afoul of Sinbad. Like that's. At the beginning of this whole thing, Sinbad's like, hey, Arnold, let's team up, which, I mean, it doesn't make any sense because you're only going to find one doll, right? But he's like, let's team up so we can be buddies in this movie. And Arnold's like, no, that's all right. I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I can carry a fucking movie. If you want to run into me every 20 minutes, that's fine. Because it's really a thing where every time after that first scene where Sinbad comes back in the movie, you have the thought of, oh yeah, Sinbad's in this movie. It happened to me 3 times watching this because he's just gone for just stretches of time while Arnold fucks around.
The guy was in Terminator 2. What was Sinbad in? Like Higher Learning? I don't know. Like
House Guest?
And House Guest. Like, give me a break. Or First Kid.
No, so, First Kid was the same year as this movie. Big year for Sinbad.
This was his year. This was a banner year.
So, the year before was House Guest.
So, you know, they're running because they get laughed out of the one place. So they're all running to different toy shops and stuff. And there's a great sort of montage-y moment in this movie that I love because it looks like when like Arnold Schwarzenegger is driving this car and it's like superimposed like toy shop store names like all over the place. Like it's like when an alcoholic is like looking at the bars and
like the Simpsons thing where they trip on the Slurpees.
The same. He goes and it's just what's amazing though is it's not like different names of toy stores. It's just the word toys in different colors and different fonts. So it's like, if you got a really great screen grab of this, it's just Arnold Schwarzenegger's face and then just like toys.
I think the kids in the hall might have done one of these. I think it was like maybe Girl Drink Drunk or something. And he was just seeing like the names of like these tiki bars and stuff. Like it's the same exact type of thing. Like,
but I mean, also, the time makes no sense. They went to all this. There's at least like 10 different toy stores they went to.
How many toy stores are in Minneapolis?
And how long does it take to get to eat parking? It's a whole thing. And so it would have been in the middle of the afternoon, I would think, by the time that they actually decide to go to the Mall of fucking America.
Now it's Christmas morning. That's what I would think. Like, that's how long it would have taken me to park all those places.
Yeah, on Christmas Eve, if you're going to 15 different toy stores.
Yeah, I don't know if this is working out for you.
So they get to this one toy store that's having a raffle. Like, like they're passing out these balls.
They got a small shipment. And by the way, a town crier actually tells them about this in the middle of the street. This guy's just like, hey, they got new Turbo Man over at the Mall of America.
By the way, that's amazing that they still have town criers there. He's just yelling the news.
Well, it's got a bell.
It's 1996, dude. We didn't have cell phones or the internet. You had to pass information to a mass audience somehow.
Is that or like street corner preachers?
So they're handing out all these balls, and I guess they're numbered or something. Or
by the way, the manager...
They're just colored, I guess.
Yeah,
like
bouncy balls.
I guess it's like, oh, yellow wind, so everyone with a yellow ball.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like the super balls.
Yeah, they're bouncy balls. And this ball like bounces out of the... Well, first of all, Sinbad fucking pepper sprays Arnold Schwarzenegger in the face.
Yep.
Ah, my eyes!
The goggles do nothing.
There's this mad sprawl for these balls. The guy, by the way, is like, we're going to double prices.
Oh, yeah, which is bullshit because this is, you're in the Mall of America. It's clearly supposed to be like a chain Toys R Us, KB type thing.
Yeah.
You can't just jack shit up.
That is lawsuit town.
Yeah. Well, oh, and
maybe
by the way,
this is where it started.
WHM Connection, the manager of this toy store, is the dude who's Sigourney Weaver's stereotypical gay friend in Copycat.
Yeah, dead meat from Copycat. Yeah.
So the guy, like, everyone's like, just pass out these fucking balls already. And he's like, you know, I'm going to jack the prices up. And like a horde of zombies, they race this guy. They throw the balls up in the air. This is when the macing happens, which is heinous.
Because it's like Arnold, like, gets one so... So Sinbad maces him and steals the ball and runs away. And then Arnold's like, oh, the mailman, he got two balls. So they're so everyone like chases him. And like now the ball's loose and it's just going through the whole goddamn Mall of America. And we're chasing the ball. Instead of him turning around for like 2 feet and trying to get a different ball, we have to run across this whole mall finding
multi levels.
It's like
in the
Mouse
mall
Hunt
of
if Mouse Hunt wasn't amazing.
I mean, as we'll see later on, the physics in the world of this movie are artificial, but you don't realize it right away. So the way this ball thing passes itself off is like, this is just a stupid, like, silly gag that doesn't go anywhere. But he's literally like running down the stairs, running in and out of stores.
I would argue with you that I'm some words to mince. I think it goes somewhere, and it goes to fertile ground, because this kid, this like little girl, like, gets the ball,
right?
And now Arnold Schwarzenegger is in hot pursuit, and she goes into a ball pit and everything, and Arnold Schwarzenegger is going down these slides like, oh, and he goes into the ball pit and he's like trying to get this ball. He's trying to like trade it with this red ball from the ball pit, which is not going to work. She knows that
she's got a sick bouncy ball.
Yeah.
By the way, find me a Discovery Zone tube that can fit Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I had the same
thought.
Find
me in America. In America.
Nope.
It's not there.
Nope.
He's stuck in the net.
Well, what's great about this sequence is suddenly the mom hits him with the purse, right? And then a bunch of other moms start hitting him with a purse. And then he's accused of being a child molester.
Yeah, pretty much.
They're like yelling, pervert, yep. Sicko.
And what's great is he's like, I'm not the pervert. I just want the ball.
I want the balls.
You're like, yeah, you're going to get hit with a purse.
Yeah, you're arrested.
This episode's brought to you in part by Rocket Money, and they have this question for you. They handed to me just now. Mr. Rocket just handed me this. Do you know how much your subscriptions really cost? Most Americans think they pay around $80 a month on subscription services, but the actual total is closer to $200. If you don't know exactly how much you're spending every month, you need Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. And with Rocket Money, you could lower those bills without resorting to having bean dinners every day of the week. You know, you have those bean dinners to try to save some few bucks, but if you were monitoring your spending with Rocket Money, you didn't necessarily need to eat every bean dinner. So find out what all the fuss is about. You know, over 80% of people have subscriptions they forgot about, like the Stars app. Don't get me started. You don't have to go through all the back end of the website anymore. You don't have to call customer service. Rocket Money helps you manage all your finances in one place as well and categorizes everything. It's easy to keep track of a whole budget. Even I can do it, and I got rocks in my head. So find out what 3 million people have already done. They've taken the Rocket, folks. Stop throwing the money away. Cancel unwanted subscriptions and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/WHM. That is rocketmoney.com/WHM. Once more, rocketmoney.com/WHM, which stands for We Hate Movies.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, my 20s, while being a lot of fun a lot of the time, were pretty rough. I wasn't exactly rolling in dough. I lived at home until I was about 25, and for most of it, I didn't have this show or you lovely people in my life. I just kind of drifted around without direction and didn't know where to voice that. Then I started to get my craft together one piece at a time, and the last piece, which didn't come until my early 30s, was therapy. And man, I wish it came along sooner. Ever since I started sitting down with a licensed therapist, I've had a place to voice my insecurities and try to fashion plans to help me achieve my goals. So that's why I'm thrilled we're sponsored by BetterHelp. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, and it's designed to be flexible, convenient, and suited to meet your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and the good thing is you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/WHM today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/WHM.
So in the Mall of America, he's Sinbad's been chased off. We'll see him in 35 minutes, maybe. So he's kind of down on his luck, and he runs into Santa Claus himself, Jim Belushi. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, I haven't seen this movie since I saw it in the theater. And I believe it did come out on a Black Friday weekend, by the way, speaking of Black Friday. I forgot that Jim Belushi was in this movie. And then, like, you just hear it, and you're like, oh, my God. It's Jim Belushi playing Santa Claus.
Yeah, ho, 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 you dirty Austrian.
Yeah. Speaking of, that's like a classic comic pairing, right? Red Heat. This is a reunion.
Yeah. It is. It's totally a reunion. He's like, yeah, you're looking for a Turbo Man doll, huh? Well, there's this whole completely fake world of black market Santa Clauses I can take you to.
Oh, hey, that's terrific.
And it's a bullshit. This scene is so stupid because it's the two of them and then Mickey from Seinfeld again playing a mall elf, which is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So it's the three of them. And Jim Belushi and Mickey are acting as if it's like a drug deal thing, right? He's like, oh, be cool, be cool. Oh, man. Like the mall security guard walks by and he's like, oh, yeah, sir. What would you like for Christmas?
Also, by the way, it's the Mall of America, biggest mall. In America.
Yeah.
And the fucking Santa Claus thing is, there's nobody there. Yeah, it's Christmas Eve. Are you kidding me?
Maybe they're on multiple levels.
Maybe there's, but still, every one of them's packed on Christmas Eve, I imagine.
It has to be.
You're
it's such
those
bullshit.
Keys on your lap. I mean, it's
like
gotta,
all of a sudden.
Well, it's Jim Belushi. We'll go to the next one.
That Santa smells like bourbon. But. It's bullshit because they cut, and all of a sudden, they might as well be in a ghost mall, like a dirt, nothing mall, right? Because there's not even an extra. This security guard that walks by is the only other person in the scene. And it's like, yeah, I can get you. Oh, hey, be cool, man. Hey, put that shit down. Yeah, hang on. Yeah, that's right, sir. The North Pole is cold. All right, he's gone. Listen, buddy, here's what we're going to do. Like, it's so dumb. Like, this scene is not funny at all.
You don't want to have a photographer there to talk to. You could split this scene into very funny little asides, but it's just to get to the point of, I have this terrorist photograph of the last Turbo Man on Earth.
Okay, yeah. It's a terrorist photograph.
It's so stupid.
Because it's a photo of the doll and today's paper.
Mickey, it's like a kidnapping thing. Like, oh, yeah, like the doll's still alive. It's here's today. Paper. We didn't slit its throat yet. So it's like, all right, take me to where I can buy this Turbo Man doll. And we go down to the fucking docks at an empty warehouse with Jim Belushi.
And it's just flooded with Santa Claus because all the Santa Claus are in on this.
I mean, it's the Santa Union, I would think.
Like, what are you even talking to me about with this? Like, this movie goes from like, all right, this dad's just got to get a toy and wacky shit happens and he deals with a mailman sometimes. Into black market Santa warehouse. Come on.
Although I will say this, that this movie uses every single Christmas song you can fucking think of.
It is a rockin' good Christmas soundtrack.
However, they say the best song, and it's that sweet Run DMC Christmas song.
Christmas in Hollis, man. Love it.
That's the one that plays in this scene. Oh. And I was so pissed off because that with fucking Jim Belushi. Like, it's just too much.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I'm down with the hip-hop. Can I sing a little bit of Christmas in Hollis or what? it's pronounced Hollis? Yeah, fuck it. I'll never go there.
I like that Summertime song by that Will Smith. It's pretty rocking too.
That Fresh Prince was correct. Parents just don't understand. You know what? It's not my job to, because you're the child and I'm the adult.
I don't like that blank WA or anything, but...
I say blank WA because I'm down with it. I fucking get it, all right? Now I'm going to play some blues music. So it's like... They go there, it's like $300 for the Turbo Man doll, and it's wrapped up, and Arnold shakes it, or he opens it, and it's like Spanish language Turbo Man. What?
That was just the noise of him opening it.
And then Jim Belushi, in kind of a funny line, is like, yeah, well, it's educational and entertaining. It's Turbo Man, but he learns to speak Spanish. Because let's face it, that's where this country's going, right?
You see Arnold's face just like contort into pure hatred.
He's so pissed.
Fever of anger comes over him.
I love it. And what's great too is, unlike Red Heat, where Arnold is supposed to be Russian and not speak English that well, in this movie
he's just supposed to not speak English that well.
But he can actually articulate just how disgusted he is with Jim Belushi.
It's you really buy it because it's not really acting. Like, he's just looking at the guy.
Yeah, he's like, yeah. I fucking hate this man's face.
And I mean, he's so angry. I mean, he gets into like, it's like a fight from the beginning of Runaway Train. It's just like this bare knuckle fight with this gigantic Santa.
Oh yeah, they bring out a giant one, like an 8 foot tall Santa Claus,
played by World Wrestling Entertainment's Paul Wright, the Big Show.
Oh, the Big Show.
Yeah, or it's Paul White, whatever his name was.
Well, welcome back to the program.
Yeah, his best acting role, playing the gay guy in MacGruber.
Oh god,
hilarious cameo in that. But yeah, it's. It's the Big Show back in the movies.
I'm going to deck your halls.
Yeah. With blood. With your face blood.
Speaking and a of... throne of blood.
Speaking of
That's
Danny...
all I want for Christmas.
Speaking of Danny DeVito, though, it would be great if they pulled a fucking Ace Ventura When Nature Calls and this, and Big Show just turns around and Danny DeVito's in like a little satchel ready to kill him.
Yeah, that's the gag, right? The Big Show walks up and they're like, oh. And then he turns around and it's Danny DeVito in a backpack.
I'll fucking get you.
Besides Mickey, and we know we don't get Danny DeVito, what other little person is in this? I think it's, what is it, Vern Troyer.
He's got a cameo as another like tiny person Santa.
Right. So what happens here is, in the scuffle that arouses, Big Show punches Vern Troyer dead on, and he flies across the warehouse. I'm sorry, but like, as Arnold's escaping, there should be a bunch of people like collecting this little corpse.
Yeah. What's left of him?
Yeah,
there's his head. There's the rest of it.
Here, there's some of the ribs. Like, it's going to be
Big Show punched him. I mean,
somebody.
And Vern Troyer exploded like a fatality.
Somebody's going to have to go outside to find his eyeballs and his heart. I mean, somebody's going to have to do it.
So then, like, the police raid this warehouse. And this is what's weird. So they have bootleg Turbo Man dolls. And then the only other piece of bootleg paraphernalia you see are police badges, because like the cop is like, hey, hold it right there, who are you? And Arnold just quickly thinks fast and grabs this badge and pretends like he's fucking undercover Vice.
Yeah.
Top 10 least favorite gags. This is the one.
It's so dumb, but the thing I was thinking about was like, why is Jim Belushi and this army of Santa Claus also bootlegging like police badges? And the only thing is like, because you're going to impersonate a police officer and
home
do something
invasion.
Really terrible. Yeah. Oh, hey, we got a warrant to search your house, ma'am.
You know what? I think they got a piece of those dollar stores. Where they, like, the dollar stores, they always sell, like, those fake policemen, like, packages. I think they've got a piece of it.
Oh, yeah. It's poor toys. Okay. But Belushi might be using them for nefarious purposes.
There are also possible.
Yeah, I got a search warrant here to search your underwear drawer.
Oh, what's this? Contraband. Gonna give me your hands. I'm handcuffing you now. Huh, what's that? Oh, look at that television. It's mine now.
Or yeah, just, I also need that for my police investigation.
Or he just pulls like a bad lieutenant at the driver's side window.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah.
Hey, I'm going to take care of you. You're going to take care of me or what? Well, friends help friends out, don't they?
Open your mouth.
Hey, you, open your mouth. I'm going to lose 25 large on the Mets in the World Series.
You kids have a good time tonight, the club? Oh, let me see here. Oh, no, I'll take care of your girlfriend there. Don't worry about it.
I mean, that would be my... If the end of the James Belushi story is that he gets shot in front of the Port Authority, I am just fine with that.
I'm just trying to get on a bus, blammo.
Got Blackhawks tickets.
Jim Belushi, high on some sweet Mexican brown, dancing naked.
He's just putting these two Hispanic kids on a bus.
Looking at the Virgin Mary that's covered in condiments.
His soul is still dancing. My blues band isn't even playing. His soul is still dancing.
Hey, give me some kibble. I would love it if then we cut to the Werner Herzog Bad Lieutenant, and there's just a chicken dancing. Yeah. And it's the song from Strozek's playing. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it cuts to Jim Belushi just eating fried chicken. Yeah, that was worth it. Took the metaphor right out of this fucking movie. I'm going to eat it. I'm going to eat that metaphor.
So in Jingle All the Way.
Oh, right. Yeah. Not in James Belushi's Bad Lieutenant.
Mediocre stupid Lieutenant.
Stupid fake movie that sounds awesome. He
gets arrested and Arnold like weasels his way out of it with the fake badge.
Right.
Right. Which... try it at home. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
And he goes, he just finds himself in a diner.
Yeah, his car breaks down.
His car breaks down. Another little roadblock.
What next? I mean, this is bullshit, right? I mean, come on, I buy this American car.
And it just happens to be the same goddamn diner.
Yep.
That Sinbad stopped him.
And this is where Sinbad tells this bullshit fucking story about his dad screwed him over and didn't get him the whatever the fuck that he wanted for Christmas. And I'm like, what you don't need to do, movie, is try to make me sympathize with Sinbad. So,
but it's like Sinbad talking about this like quasi G.I. Joe thing. And it's just like, and it had the bazookas that went like, boo, boo, boo. And it had the little guns that went like, beep, beep, boo. And like Arnold's like, oh, yeah, it sounds very nice. It's like, what the hell?
Sounds a lot like that Turbo Man doll I have to get.
Sounds like the potato I always wanted in Austria when I was growing up.
When I was trying to dodge Krampus.
Me and Krampus had an ongoing struggle for many years of my childhood. He got in the way of my presence.
For more information about Krampus, visit blameitonouterspace.com.
But... but the worst part about this, man, is that...
Man, worst part of this is
it really
is,
because this scene bothered me a lot. I remember even when I saw it in theaters, because Sinbad blames the downfall of his life...
His entire life.
...on the fact that he didn't get the G.I. Joe when he was a kid.
And this is something I have a real problem with not just this movie, but a lot of these Christmas stories where it's like... If I don't get the thing, my life's over with. And it's like, you know what, man? I had plenty of Christmases where I was like, man, I hope I get this toy. I hope I get this video game, this DVD, whatever. And I don't get it. And then it's like, you know what? There's always a fucking Best Buy gift card. Like, or a birthday, or you'll just get, like, the whole, like, my life is over if I don't get this. And I get it. It's from, like, a kid's point of view.
The kid's life would be, the kid would go apeshit.
But Sinbad saying that he became a functioning alcoholic because he didn't get the G.I. Joe.
He's got a cushy government job. What's he complaining about?
That, I mean, that is also a thing. I mean, that is a fine job. But, and why I was so defensive at the beginning of the episode about Arnold Schwarzenegger being just having this one problem of not being the most attentive father.
Right.
It's because his son is a spoiled brat.
Yeah,
he gets plenty of presents, I think, without even the holiday. Yeah. So when the one holiday comes by and I have to have this and I'm going to spend the entire day just yammering in your fucking ear about it.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what's really obnoxious is there is in that scene where he's like, how can I buy your love? and the kid recites verbatim the Turbo Man commercial right down to the batteries not included, accessories sold separately, and like that was a gag from the trailer. Yeah. And he's like, wow, you've really thought about this Turbo Man. And I'm like, this kid, that's really obnoxious. Like, if I was the father, I'd be like, you know what? Fucking dial it back a little bit. Just tell me what you want. You don't need to
recite
a commercial.
Clearly, you're watching too much television.
Yeah, that's so. The other thing. Here's a book. That's what you get for Christmas. Maybe, it's a book that's not about Turbo
Man. Don't want to even throw me a softie, like a good, you know, Peace on Earth? Don't just to soften, just to butter me up a little bit. No, no, no. Give me the most popular toy ever.
Let me tell you something, Chris. You find a kid who says they want peace on Earth and they're not fucking with you.
No, I'm saying he should have fucked with them.
No, no. Well, what I'm saying, listen. Now, a kid says he wants peace on Earth at that age, and I'll show you Jeffrey Dahmer Jr. right there. Because that's not normal.
It's not normal. My favorite part about this diner scene, though, is so Sinbad is saying how, like, you know, he turned to the bottle, blah, blah, blah. And Arnold has this fantasy sequence of the little kid dressed up in a postal uniform.
Jake Lloyd,
Jake Lloyd playing drunk, chugging whiskey out
chugging
of a bottle.
Chugging Old Harper.
Yeah.
Yeah, out of this glass bottle, wearing this old-timey postal uniform.
Flappy postal winter hat. Oh, it's pretty great. Drunk kids, hilarious.
So, of course, now shit got real.
This is where this movie goes. It's the express train to Crazy Town. So,
we have to mention, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Because we're like steamrolling ahead, but there's this whole other movie happening back at his house.
Oh, well,
this is the movie I want to see. And that's why, like, I don't want to make fun of it, because the legitimately great part of this movie is Phil Hartman plays the newly divorced neighbor
who's doing cookies.
Yeah, just laying it on so fucking thick to Rita Wilson.
He's Coxman of Minnesota.
Yes, thank you. He is going to, he owns that suburb, man.
That neighborhood, they're drooling for it.
Wrapped around his little finger.
Yep. They want, and I mean,
all the women.
Phil Hartman and Rita Wilson are hilarious playing off each other in this movie. Like, she does a good job at being completely fucking clueless to his way obvious advances. And Phil Hartman is just so fucking funny. Yeah. And this is like, I did the same thing on House Guest. Like, I got kind of like misty thinking about great Phil Hartman, but like, he's so fucking funny in this movie. And it's like, I just want the movie to be Arnold is the workaholic bad husband, not so much bad father. Mm-hmm. And it's like, he's fighting for Rita Wilson, because Arnold is clueless to this whole thing through like the whole movie for the most part.
And that's closer to an Arnold I like, is that like a one upmanship kind of movie.
Yeah, exactly.
I can get my wife.
Yeah. You look at Arnold and you say he's got to fight for something, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at the man.
He shouldn't be getting maced by Sinbad.
Oh, my eyes.
How terribly embarrassing.
But there's probably a scene where Phil Hartman has to box Arnold Schwarzenegger or wrestle him.
What is this, Joe Somebody?
Yes.
Or what's that Tom Arnold and Rick Moranis movie, Big Bully?
Big Bully.
Man, stay tuned for Big Bully, by the way.
One of my favorite Phil Hartman moments in this movie is when Arnold's calling to check in and he gets Phil Hartman on the phone.
Oh, this is great.
And Phil Hartman is like, oh, me and your wife are baking cookies. Oh, these cookies. And he's just like, you know, Arnold, this is one of the most famous lines of the movie. He's like, put that cookie down.
Oh, yeah.
Now.
I believe that was trailer.
Yeah.
Put the cookie down. Like, yeah, it's so fucking great. And there's a really amazing, the end of this is, I'm guessing, because this script is terrible, I'm guessing this is Phil Hartman improv, is he hangs up the phone with Arnold and then he goes to eat a cookie and burns his hand on the stove, and he screams and like sucks his thumb for a second and like yells or whatever. And then he yells at the kids in the back who are like horsing off in the living room. Oh my God. It's so amazing.
Like, he like yells at them to like knock it off or something. And it's just very different. It's great.
Actually funny. So you're like, hey, what's this doing in this movie? You know, I mean, it had to have been a boon for Phil Hartman to be like, I'm clearly the best part of this movie.
Oh, yeah. They just want you in there because they know that you're funny.
Like Sinbad, right? I bet on the other hand, Sinbad was like, oh, great. I get to be in this movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger. I get second billing. How awesome is that? Oh, who else is in this movie? Oh, you also cast Phil Hartman, huh? Hmm. I know how hilarious he is from that movie we did last year together. Oh, I'm getting one-upped. Oh, I'm just... Yeah, that Sinbad really had whiskey in that bottle. Oh, yeah, I'm getting one-upped. He's like, whatever scene I'm filming right now, after it's over with, they're going to cut to a scene with Phil Hartman being funnier than I. That's Sinbad's mindset.
Yeah, I mean, that is... He's beset with that problem.
So we've got this second, much better movie going on. It's like a short film if you just strung it all together. So they hear that if you can name, you call into a radio station and name all of Santa's 8 reindeer, you get a Turbo Man doll. And the fucking dude who owns the diner is like, hey, you should get the fuck out of my diner and just go to the radio station because it's right down the road. And they go to the radio station. There's a fucking foot race between Arnold and Sinbad, and it's another Sinbad's just overweight and out of shape
and
jokes.
It's also like, oh, I'm just going to throw mail on the ground.
Yeah, so my mailbag is lighter. Like, give me a break.
Stop it. You're not the Millennium Falcon trying to jettison some garbage to get a better...
By the way...
exactly.
Yeah, by the way, you're trying to get this toy for your kid, Sinbad. You are throwing your job right in the toilet.
You certainly are, Sinbad. You are flat out fired. Come December 26th.
Christmas Eve. You decide on your own volition just to dump mail in the middle of the fucking street.
Just huck a bunch of garbage that people are expecting you to deliver.
And it gets worse than that, but we'll get there. But first we got to talk about this Martin Mull.
Oh, God. Man. Martin Mull, another actor that I think is really funny. Yep. He's done some great stuff. Here he is as a hilariously be-ponytailed radio DJ. He's kind of decked out to look like his animated Simpsons character. Yes. When him and Carlin play those hippies.
Absolutely.
Munchie and whatever the other one was.
I just remember Munchie.
Munchie was Carlin's character. But so here he is, Martin Mull, he's this DJ, and Arnold fucking like breaks into the studio
and just screams.
He's
the
just yelling
at him.
He's just yelling reindeer
the
names.
Prancer Dana Blinsen. It's like, excuse me.
What's that?
He calls 911.
Martin Mull immediately calls 911. I mean, this scene is really where shit gets crazy because, I mean, Arnold, right here, you're arrested. You vandalize property, trespassing, whatever. In comes Sinbad after he pounded away that heart attack, put that off for another month or so. He gets up there and then he's like, it's so unfunny. And crazy, because he's like, oh, yeah, because Martin Mull says, well, the toy's not here. You get a gift certificate to get it later.
And you can get it
later. Again, you're at your last ditch effort here. Just steal that gift certificate, honestly.
Yeah.
If it's the best you can do. Look, maybe you keep looking for it and you get it later. But worst comes to worst, you have the gift certificate for the doll.
You son of a bitch.
And so Sinbad is pissed off about this, and instead of acting like an adult and just leaving, he takes out one of the presents and says he has a bomb.
Yeah, he takes one of the packages that he's mailing and says it's a bomb.
Like, this isn't funny.
No. And who? And funny who? And this. I get it. It's not supposed to be too realistic.
Yeah.
But who's believing this? What kind of... Any kind of educated person's believing that, oh, this one square thing in my bag, boom, that's
well, it is, Martin Mull's working at a top 40 DJ's post, so maybe it's not that great of a guy.
I would just imagine a good shotgun in your face. you're not bringing in a bomb.
So they, like, get out of there or whatever. Like, Sinbad throws it, and it's like, oh, it's clearly not a bomb. And they get out of there. And then, like, the police show up because Martin Mull is called 911.
Yeah.
And Sinbad pulls the joke again. Like, 60 seconds haven't even gone by. And he's like, oh, I got a bomb in here.
And he does it to the police. And He's in his mail carrier uniform. Yep. I don't know if there's a name tag. There's probably a badge number. You know, like very least the description, and you know he probably delivers mail within the Minneapolis Twin Cities area.
Hey, Minneapolis Postmaster General, I'm looking for one of your mail carriers. He looks a lot like stand-up comedian Sinbad.
Oh yeah, what about him?
Oh, was he doing that bomb threat again?
Yeah, guess what? He's in jail now.
He's in the middle of his shift, and his entire bag was empty already.
He's not in jail. We shot him in the fucking head, honestly. There's like 20 police officers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, up until this point, like I said, it hasn't been realistic, but it's been plausible.
Yes.
Almost.
It's been silly. It's been playful. But goofy, this is when we go to straight Toontown.
This is fucking
Toontown.
I wish Bob Hoskins was here to fucking throw me through this place.
I don't work for no Toons or Sinbad. No, I won't take your case, Sinbad.
Woo, lover boy.
Sinbad is the fucking Tex Avery lady.
No, so he gives him his bomb, and the bomb explodes.
And here's the thing, okay? They get out of the building, they're in the street, and then the end of Die Hard happens at the top of this building. Yeah. Like, the floor blows out, and you're like, whoa, they're dead.
Yeah.
Cut back to the elevator bank at the top of the building, and it's just the one police officer that was holding it. Looks like a fucking cartoon blast. My wife was like, he looks like fucking Daffy Duck right now.
Yeah, like when his beak was on backwards.
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be great if his mouth and his nose was on the other side of his head.
And every other police officer standing around him is like, well, that's a real bummer there, Lieutenant.
Yeah, and some guy's like, huh, thought you had 10 years on the bomb squad, huh?
Like,
how are you speaking right now?
How about, you know what? It would have been great. I know this is, you know, this is going to be stupid, so bear with me, everyone.
Fair enough.
I would love it if the movie decided to be ultra realistic, like Saving Private Ryan. When you see someone blown up in that, it's like just chunks and just nothing left, and just like
dude, I'd love it. Blood like mist. A leg just falls down on the ground, like hits Sinbad in the arm. Like, what? Oh wow, that was a real bomb, huh? Weird.
Yeah, and that guy's just murdered.
That whole floor's dead. That
They're
whole
dead.
Team. There's Martin Mull's dead.
There's a guy dragging himself down the stairwell with a huge piece of shrapnel in his side. Like, just like,
it's just like the end of Bad Boys 2 when the guy like falls on the mine and it's just like,
yes. Just pieces like are in Martin
Mull's
face.
Gore fart.
This movie could really use a gore fart.
Welcome back to Chris Cabin's Gore Fart.
That's a gore fart. I think there's a gore fart in From Beyond.
There's a definite gore fart in From Beyond, man. That's a great movie.
And 4 years later in the election, there was one.
Wow. Joke jacking.
Joke jacked, yeah. Yeah, once in a while, it's good to do a little joke jacking.
So can we talk about when Arnold Schwarzenegger fights and then gets drunk with a reindeer?
Oh, yeah, that part.
Speaking, you know, we're going down this path of realism and fucking plausibility. So earlier in the movie, Phil Hartman, again being hilarious, is like, oh, you didn't rent out a reindeer for your kid? I did. Like, he's doing a clear, like, father of the year.
It wasn't
thing.
Even just rented out. He, like, bought it.
He bought it. Oh, that's right. Because he says he's going to give it away to the wild.
Oh,
after
yeah, he's
going to
release it. He saw this family of deer that he's picked out, and they'll accept him as one of their own. Guess what? They won't.
Nope.
Guess what? He's dying.
Yeah, he's going to die out there all alone.
Yeah, thanks.
Been in a pen most of his life. Now back into the wild.
It's gonna
yeah,
be
he's
like,
dead.
It's going to be like in that show, The Return. There's just a bunch of dead wild animals in that pond.
You do understand what pack behavior is, don't you? They go up against each other. He's dead.
Yeah, and talk about spoiling your kids, man. Phil Hartman's kid in this.
Oh,
sorry,
yeah.
You're poisoning the well.
What's
man.
Great too is Phil Hartman's kid. Not only is he a spoiled little kid, he's a spoiled little fat kid. So he makes it even worse.
Yeah, kind of the guy who gave me the most laughs in this movie. I got to be honest. Other than Phil Hartman, he's the fat kid.
Oh.
I love how it's Phil Hartman, this fat kid who has six lines, And then maybe like eight other people probably before you get to Sinbad. As far as making you laugh,
are you out of the reindeer is getting on before Sinbad does?
So it's established early on that this reindeer does not like Arnold.
No.
So Arnold, in a true moment of desperation, breaks into Phil Hartman's house.
And by this point, he's already really burned the bridges with his kid because he actually called up and like started yelling at him.
Oh yeah, Jake Lloyd tells him off and then hangs up the phone.
Yeah,
on him.
Jamie, please get Jamie, your mother please. On the phone.
Well, this man, this was the one where if you ever, if you maybe were on Jake Lloyd's side before this, this fucking puts it right.
You're
out.
Not after this, yeah, this little tantrum.
All it like Arnold Schwarzenegger just wants to talk to his fucking wife. He has had a fucking shitty day.
Yep.
He just wants to get things straight for the rest of his goddamn day.
You know what? When my dad would call up the house, like from work or wherever, and be like, "Put your mother on the phone." You know what I do? Put my mother on the phone.
I will talk to you afterwards.
Yeah, I don't tell him off and then hang up the phone.
And it's not even telling off. It's just yammering on about the Turbo Man. It's just him still talking like
on and on about this Turbo Man.
I've been spending my whole day dealing with it. I get it, buddy. Can I just talk to your mother?
He's also burned through about $600 now on scams, grifts, and cons.
God only knows.
Because at one point he tried
the swimming pool for your birthday is gone.
He doesn't get the $300 back from Jim Belushi, bust happens.
He also pays a random woman on the street $300 for what he thinks is her Turbo Man doll, but it turns out to be Booster. No one wants a Booster doll.
Booster, the much maligned assistant to Turbo Man.
Pink saber-tooth monster thing?
It's a pink Tasmanian devil-looking character. It's stupid.
It's a gross thing.
So he's told him off on the phone. He really hates his guts. So and then
he's down to his, like, he's got no other recourse, and he's just remembering Phil Hartman going, "Turbo Man doll, huh? I got one nestled right under my tree."
Phil Hartman, I don't have to tell you how funny he is, but like, you know that he gets this character so well. It's like, I'm saying shit that I could just say like nicely, but he's saying it with the character knowing that Arnold's character clearly has not purchased the Turbo Man.
Right.
And he's really, really rubbing it in. Yeah. It's so fucking genius.
So
man.
Arnold's just going to steal it from his fucking house.
I'm just going to break it and fucking steal it.
He's going to pull a page from the mediocre detective or mediocre lieutenant's book.
I'll just break into his house and steal the fucking thing.
No, it's okay. I got a drop gun if something goes down.
Port of call Minnesota.
What's that? I'm going to start a horrible fire in your house? Yeah, fuck it. Which Arnold totally does. He he kicks one of the three wise men's heads into the fireplace.
There's an electrical. I mean,
what's worse about this, too, is like that head goes up and it's burning in the fireplace. And he's like, "Oh, no, I got to put this out. It's a fire spreading." And he tries to put it out and he just makes it worse. He drags it out onto the carpet. Puts, like, and now the carpet's on fire.
Flammable rags is what he's trying to belt it with. And like it just starts this huge fire. Phil Hartman's house is destroyed.
Yeah, it's
and
pretty
so,
bad.
To cool down from that, I guess, from his little crime spree, Arnold Schwarzenegger grabs a beer with the reindeer.
Well, because this is when it comes to a head, and Rita Wilson finds out. This is the third act of the movie. Rita Wilson finds out. It's the end of the second act, I guess, technically. She finds out he lied, didn't get the present. She winds up sort of siding with Phil Hartman. I mean, even though she doesn't fall for any of his moves or anything, but she's like, "You know what? We're going to the parade. You know what? Don't come. Yeah. How about that? Don't come.
And we need to get to the parade because God damn it."
Yeah. So this, the only thing, it's so stupid. He's drinking a six pack of beer with this reindeer in the backyard and the reindeer's like burping. It's a disgusting reindeer puppet too. You know what I mean? So like, it's like you go to like a shitty like steak, like a family friendly steakhouse, and there's like a talking deer on the wall. Like,
"Hey, thanks for coming down to Wally's Steakhouse."
Yeah, exactly. I punched the moose. Like, that's it's exactly what this thing looks like.
And after they're done Turner and hooching, he goes to the parade in the hopes of like reconciling with Rita Wilson, I assume.
And this is really stupid. She just yells at him. And Jake Lloyd has already yelled at him. So he's like, "They both yelled at me." And he says, like, "You know, I have to start being a better father," or whatever. And it's like, what are you going to do? You've ruined Christmas for this kid. Your wife's pissed at you. Just going and showing up at this parade and being like, you know, I'm sorry. Like, that's, you're not going to do anything. You know what I mean? So, this is what his plan is. I'm just going to show up and maybe they won't be mad at me anymore.
I got you $300 in cash. Merry Christmas.
And we launch into the most ridiculous. He becomes Iron Man.
Yeah.
He's fucking Iron Man. Yeah. He winds up somehow getting involved in this parade. He accidentally is mistaken for the actor who's going to play Turbo Man.
Because
in this
the
thing.
Main actor who was supposed to play Turbo Man basically died, right?
He's in a coma now because of something. Which, by the way, this is one of the only believable parts of this last part, because the suit they give him certainly could put you in a coma.
It's a suit invented by Tony Stark. Like, yeah. It's an out-and-out rocket pack that this guy's got. And, you know,
it's got razor discs.
It's like, all right, he's going to do the show. It's floating CDs at people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so stupid, right? So he's mistaken for this guy. He gets in the parade. And the dude who plays Booger is hilariously playing the sidekick.
A Booster, yeah. Welcome addition. He's got some nice little
It's great. Here. Like, there's Booger. He's, like, smoking a cigarette. Like, where the hell have you been? Like, really treating Arnold like shit, which is awesome. And the whole thing starts, and he's like, you get to give a toy to one of the kids in the crowd. He gives it to Jake Lloyd. And then Sinbad. Because remember, everybody, Sinbad's in this movie, dressed up as the villain. It's like a Brainiac.
It looks like Brainiac. I think it's like the...
What was that, like, Will Ferrell, Brad Pitt animated movie that totally tanked?
Oh, Megamind.
It looks like Megamind, basically.
Right, I think it's called like the Dementor or
the Dementor,
something.
That is the name, yeah.
In Turbo Man.
Yeah. He's the soul-sucking ghosts from the Harry Potter world.
Yeah, he's Turbo Man's Metallo. Yeah.
So it's like, here's Sinbad, and it's supposed to be like an Indiana Jones stunt show type thing, yeah. Right? Like, oh, here's fucking the villain, and they're going to fight, and he's going to save the day. And then Sinbad becomes a total criminal.
By going off script.
He goes off script. Big crime. Second crime, harassing and assaulting a child. Like, Sinbad's getting the chair by the end of this.
Well, because the Dementor suit, like, we're talking about how... We're saying that the Turbo Man costume would be made by Tony Stark.
Yeah.
This fucking, the Dementors was made by Jeff Bridges, because this thing has a rocket fist.
Oh, yeah.
That can fire and hit him, and it's like supposed to be like solid steel metal.
Yeah, it fires and then it goes back into his hand, just like the TV show that we see at the beginning of this movie, mm-hmm. where there's, you know, Power Rangers levels of special effects, but like, it's still special effects. This is like the fist comes out and comes back to Sinbad and hooks back in like magic, like TV magic.
It rips his arm off.
Minnesota must be a fucking military town, because this shit is next level.
It's nuts.
One of the first things he does, too, is he like uppercuts Booster.
Oh, yeah.
And he flies off the float and lands. And then he's like, shut up, Booster. Nobody likes you. And then the kids in the audience, in the crowd, agree with that sentiment and go over there and start beating the shit out of him.
Dude, it's like Booger's a scene from The Walking Dead, man. There's a pack of wild kids that eat him alive.
Yeah, they're like ripping him apart.
It's terrifying.
That's another victim claimed by this movie. Vern Troyer and this guy, Booger, all sharing a bed next to each other in critical care.
So then, like, Arnold starts flying around in this suit. And I mean,
jetpack.
Flying around in it. He's going up. Flying through skyscrapers.
No training. No training.
Nothing.
He goes through a window, goes through a family's dinner.
Yeah, they're like saying grace. They're about to have like Christmas Eve dinner, and he flies
through.
Doesn't
matter. I can ruin as many people holidays as I want, as long as my son's is perfect.
And then continuing with the cartoon physics, there's a shot in this whole thing where he's about to slam face first into a building, and he goes head first against this brick wall.
Dung.
Yeah, and he's just like vibrating. Like a fucking, you know, like tuning fork.
Well, I mean, he also does Tony Stark at the end of The Avengers, because he goes up into the atmosphere and almost touches space.
Yeah, he throws that thing through the wormhole.
And is somehow able to fucking come back from this.
It's so crazy. It's so fucking crazy. Meanwhile, Sinbad is chasing this child through the streets, and Rita Wilson's like, oh, be careful. Like, she doesn't get it. Like, call the police. This is clearly not something
that's... It's a parade. There's police everywhere. What are they doing?
And now, little Annie Skywalker is climbing up this ladder to go to the roof, and it's like, Rita Wilson, you really know that this isn't part of the plan. You've been with your kid all day.
Yeah, you know that no one from the parade planning commission has called you to set this up. Like, oh, we want your little boy to be an extra, or I guess a featured role in our little stunt show. And the kid is climbing up. It's like a radio tower or something. Yep. Oh, no, it's a big metallic Christmas tree.
Yeah.
And it starts like tipping over. And Sinbad the whole time is like, get back here, kid. Get back here. Not like, hey, this is getting dangerous. Maybe I should stop chasing a kid for a doll. It's like, till my last breath,
by the way,
I'm going to try to get this toy.
By the way, there's two anchors there. This is all televised. Job, again, disintegrated in front of your very eyes.
Yes. By the way, one of the anchors on TV, the dude anchor, is the actor who plays Jackie Chiles on Seinfeld.
Yeah.
This dude is an amazing voice actor because Jackie's an amazing cartoon character, Johnny Cochran type guy. And this guy is like, welcome to the Minneapolis, morning news report. And it's so much different. And I was like tooling around on IMDb, like, he's fucking Jackie Chiles. This dude's great. But yeah, you're right. You're on national TV. Done for.
Yeah.
Out of a job. Get in the chair. Not just losing your job. Get in the chair for this havoc.
Guess what, Sinbad Jr.? What you're getting for Christmas? Homelessness.
If this Sinbad Jr., by the way, is great. If this happened in 2013, they would consider this a fucking terrorist attack.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Know what?
If this happens at the Macy's Day Parade, terrorist
your
attack.
Your only recourse is to get into that van of that vacuum cleaner guys and disappear from the world.
No, he's going to Guantanamo, and he's going to have to watch the fucking Star Wars Christmas special. It's happening.
Whoa, the Star Wars holiday
special. I apologize.
Don't you associate that shit with my holiday, goddammit.
Gonna have to listen to that and Pig Destroyer.
Better keep the Christ in Christmas.
But yeah, like, I'm sorry. There's a jet-powered thing flying around New York City during the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Terrorist attack. But, they're both going to jail.
But no, of course. Like, everything ends like... He has the rocket. He saves Jake Lloyd. Arnold as Turbo Man saves Jake Lloyd when he tips over.
Swoops down like just in time. I mean,
why do you need that stakes, by the way?
Yeah, why in this Christmas movie does it have to be life? Like, he could die. This kid could die.
Literally
a
second away from death.
And, like, this catch that Arnold makes with this thing would be tough for Superman.
Yeah.
And he just swoops in, never having used a jetpack before, unless... Arnold's character in this movie is the same character from True Lies, and he's actually a secret spy, and this is just another life on top of the Jamie Lee Curtis life. Listen, that movie in True Lies, he's Harry, right? This movie, he's Howard, not that far off. He could be a secret spy that knows how to use a rocket pack.
Is Rita Wilson going to be forced to strip for him in this one, too?
I'm all right with that. I don't know if Tom Hanks would be, but I'm fine with it.
So, Minneapolis. So is he spying on Canada or something?
Like? Yeah, dude. Making sure our friends to the north don't get any ideas. It's exactly what he's doing.
Tom Arnold's just talking about all these spies in Montreal.
That's the end of the movie, right? Yeah. The kid... And this is
Well, Jake Lloyd, is that what you're... Is this the shitty kid, part you were talking about?
Yeah, it is. The kid has to teach the adults how to behave on Christmas. Jake Lloyd has the doll. Sinbad, by the way, is in handcuffs. Finally, this movie kind of gets back to reality. And he's like, hey, before you go to jail forever, give this to your kid. And he gives him the Turbo Man doll. And Arnold is just like, after the day I had, you're giving this thing away? You got to be kidding me. Here, Sinbad, you can have the gift certificate I stole from the radio station. You're keeping that fucking doll in this house. We're putting it in the glass case. You're never playing with it. Like, he just gives it away, and they're like, what the fuck are you doing? And he's like, hey, man, why do I need this doll? My dad is Turbo Man. And I'm like, he's not keeping the suit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you instantly. Yeah, we're going to need that costume back right now.
We got another Turbo Man parade tomorrow. I gotta get up to.
We have to return this to Halliburton. Will you please?
Blackwater needs this for a mission in the Sudan
or Kosovo. Yeah. Just to date this properly.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. We gotta take this to Kosovo. So
what, oh God, Slobodan Milosevic.
We're going to try to take out Slobodan Milosevic in this Turbo Man costume.
Maybe that's it. That him, Arnold as the secret agent, in yes. the takes on Turbo Man as his form to go to fight Slobodan Milosevic.
Dude, I would love it if they're like, listen, we got to get this jetpack back to Blackwater so they can take out Milosevic. And then they're like, fuck, there's not enough time to get all this Turbo Man paint off of it. So this hired assassin has to fly in as Turbo Man to take out Slobodan Milosevic.
But the problem is whenever he would assassinate people with these little discs, like, what are they going to do? Pretend, like, a CD player exploded?
Yeah, there's no way to cover that. Honestly, this man was clearly killed by Turbo Man.
In the Balkans, CD player explosions quite common.
Yeah, that's actually not...
A lot of boom boxes were literal boom boxes.
Yeah, those, you know, the five tray ones, they were hair triggers, really.
Yeah, once, you know, once Tito's Yugoslavia fell apart, then all the civil wars came. Yeah, there's some boom boxes.
Yeah, and there's a lot of jagged little pill in those.
Man, I would love seeing a Dan Rather news report telling me that the fucking Turbo Man took out Slobodan Milosevic. It'd be awesome.
An interesting turn of events. Slobodan Milosevic was murdered today by Turbo Man.
It was a dark turn for Turbo Man. He's usually fighting aliens with a pink Tasmanian devil.
Yeah, foreign policy usually isn't his foray.
I would like to award the Medal of Freedom to Turbo Man. He's done a great deal of pride to this nation, and he's committed a heroic act for the world. Turbo Man, thank you. Turbo Man for killing Slobodan Milosevic.
Bet you get a lot of talent in that suit.
You mind if I borrow your Turbo Man suit for the weekend? What's...
Mom, did you hear Turbo Man's a murderer?
Mom, you have to buy me the Slobodan Milosevic villain castle so Turbo Man can fight him.
And the 100 henchmen whose necks he shattered.
That's the end of the movie, right? Or so you think. I mean, that's all. My dad's Turbo Man, fade to black credits, right? I'm a big credit watcher, sat through it. You know what happens at the end of this movie, the end of the credits? The actual end of the movie. There's a scene that could function well as the blackout scene for the movie, but they make you sit through these credits for it. They're back at the house. Arnold is putting the star on the tree, which is a thing from earlier in the movie. Phil Hartman tries to do it, and she's like, no, Arnold always does that.
He's putting my star on my tree. He's eating my birthday cake.
No, that one's the wrong movie. Birthday cake is from The Sixth Day.
This is him. This is Arnold Schwarzenegger when he hits 95.
His lines just... Grandpa, you're mixing up your catchphrases.
Get to the charm.
I'll be back.
No, you won't, Grandpa.
They're trimming the tree and everything, and Rita Wilson is like, you know, you made me so proud today, like the lengths that you went for our spoiled little brat. Like, it's kind of turning me on right now. And I was like, where is this going?
Tail end scene here, huh?
Yeah, you got
that sex swing I asked for, her, right?
Well, that's what she's like. You know, it just makes me think, if you do all this for our son, I wonder what you got me for Christmas.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, it's fucking needle off the record. Smash zoom on Arnold. Like, and then that's the blackout gag. And I was like, why would you leave this at the end of the credits? Like, that's how you end your movie. Wow, what a great day at the parade. Now we're back at the house.
Now he's running to the mediocre lieutenant to get something nice for the missus.
Oh, you need something for your wife, huh? I got a couple of things that might turn some buttons.
Want me to warm her up for you, chief?
I got you this cashmere sweater.
What is this red dot?
Oh, you won't notice that red dot. It's harmless. Everybody loves cashmere.
What is this dot?
Would anybody recommend Jingle All the Way?
I would. I mean, it's not, obviously not, you know, stellar cinema as Chris might enjoy, but it's...
No, I wouldn't.
It's still...
Chris was twirling his mustache, by the way, for all those listening at home.
This movie's fun and dumb, and it's nothing too crazy. Nothing too crazy to write home about, but I feel like it's worth seeing once.
Yeah. It's, I mean, the Phil Hartman stuff, I mean, it is.
Yes.
You can only, you only have so much Phil Hartman on film, and I kind of say you should watch it for that, but after that, I mean, you can actually fast forward through the rest of it if you like. if you have 87 minutes to kill, which I assume many people do.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, go ahead, watch the whole damn thing, but like, Phil Hartman, that part is a recommend for me.
This movie's a solid recommend for me. Like, it's not a Christmas classic. My boss was right in canceling my plans.
You recently found out not a Christmas classic.
But, I mean, this movie is fucking crazy. It's so crazy. You got, you know, the aforementioned amazing Phil Hartman. You know, the Arnold stuff is kooky. And the third act of this movie is so insane. You got to see it to believe it. If you haven't caught this movie,
there's
yet.
Even stuff we didn't mention, like him messing with that cop so many times.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
All these little things.
There's so much ridiculous crap. It's ridiculous crap is what it is. But it's a totally watchable movie. And it's only 87 minutes. So this holiday season, once you watch all the good stuff and you're wanting to watch some like tolerable bad stuff, Jingle All the Way is a fun, the kids are in bed, let's have a couple of heavy ABV beers.
Yeah, remember, this is not child-friendly, this film.
It's not really recommended. It's really not, because, listen, it's going to teach your kids to be a piece of shit, and I know you don't want shitty kids.
Yeah, I mean, come on, Andrew saw this in the theater. Look at him.
Yeah,
I mean,
a real pile of garbage.
Just the way Phil Hartman says, taste your wife's cookies, I mean, that's enough to put you on the wrong track.
What's he actually mean there, Mom? Nothing.
Shut up, invisible child.
Starring Rita Wilson. Yeah. That's Jingle All the Way from 1996, directed by the very rich and successful Peter Levant. You want to get a hold of us? Check out the website, whmpodcast.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We are at WHM Podcast. Right into the mailbag, weallhatemovies@gmail.com. Blame It Outer Space is back. Blame It on OuterSpace.com, Facebook and Twitter at Blame Space Pod. You got a Christmas episode?
Yeah, well, we got kind of two, actually.
We got the Krampus, which we plugged.
Krampus just came out the other week, and now, ooh, I think out maybe available even now or tomorrow. The War on Christmas.
Yes. Yeah. That's a big deal, it's a dude. Big
one. Yeah.
Big deal. So blame it. Yeah, sorry.
Speaking of holiday episodes,
yes,
we got a WHM On Screen coming up as well.
Yes, this Thursday. So it's kind of like a late Christmas present. Mm-hmm. But this Thursday, you will be able, on our app and Bandcamp page, you will be able to get yourself a little treat. We kind of broke our promise. We had said we were done with the Star Wars franchise, but the Star Wars holiday special is discussed in an episode of WHM On Screen. So make sure to get the app or check out whmpodcast.bandcamp.com on Thursday to get yourself that episode. Nice little Christmas bonus. Sitting around with the family, hear us rag on that. Well, it's not family friendly, but
yeah.
With your adult family.
This is when your family finally leaves, or you go up to the attic and you take your iPod or whatever.
You're doing the dishes. You get the iPod.
You get your
out.
Eggnog out. Exactly. You get your eggnog or scotch or something, and you just have yourself a quiet little WHM time.
Yeah, there you go. Star Wars holiday special available this Thursday, or out now if you're listening to this not on Christmas Eve.
Or if it's Christmas Eve 2015, 2016, 2020. It's
been out for a while.
Yeah,
so
it'll be available then.
Infinite.
It will still be available.
If this is the year 2150,
how's it going? We have one more episode remaining in 2013. Chris Cabin, you want to give a hint about what next week's movie is for New Year's Eve?
bird catastrophe.
Ooh, that could be anything.
It could. That's a lot of things. Bird catastrophe. And by the way, we mentioned it at the top of the program, but the Animation Damnation Animation Contest, we explained what that is at the top. So, you know, rewind if you want that info again. But looking forward to getting those submissions. The due date, January 31st at the stroke of midnight. That's all. Until next time, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Sisko.
Take it easy.
Who told you can eat my cookies? No! Put that cookie down! Now!